Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
It is called the Putting Students Achievement First Act. Otherwise, it is known as Bill 101. It is going to make sweeping changes to how school boards are run. It will dictate everything from the number of trustees, how much they get paid, to how much school boards spend. And it is introducing a new position that is aimed at tighter fiscal controls. In this interview, Paul Brown, chairperson for the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, will review the changes of the past and reflect on what lies ahead, especially in light of the proposed legislation. If you have children or grandchildren or look after school-aged kids, you will be keen to hear what he has to say. I'm so pleased to have with me today Paul Brown, chairperson for the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate you having me here.
Since Premier Doug Ford took office in 2018, there have been a number of key changes he has brought about, everything from class sizes to board spending. With everything that's gone on over the past 8 years, when it comes to school boards and trustees, what changes stand out in your mind?
Well, I think, Rob, that the most recent change is Bill 101, the Students Act, is just currently going through the legislature. So there are a number of changes whose trustees that's happening. One of the things that's happening is that the role of trustees is changing. Now, we don't fully know what those changes will be because the act has yet to pass, has yet to receive royal assent, but we know there are some changes coming. For example, trustees, our role in collective bargaining has been limited, for example, going forward. Our role, we still have a role in budget, but perhaps a lesser role than we currently have. So we know that the role of trustees is changing, but until the act is fully, achieves royal assent, until the act is fully being realized, we are waiting to find out the finer details.
Well, that's an important aspect, and I'd like to come back to that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk a bit more about the things that have already happened. For example, from the earliest days of this government, there's been a lot of scrutiny when it comes to board spending, things like budgets, mm-hmm. reserves, deficits, capital projects, and the trustee expense policies are just a few examples. What, if anything, has the school done to respond to these concerns the government has?
So, Rob, I have to say that trustees and the Kawartha Pine Ridge School Board, we have always stood for fiscal responsibility. We've always stood for public accountability and good governance. And we have always been, we've done a good job, we've been good stewards of the public funds. We have balanced our budgets. We are using the funds responsibly to help students. So certainly there have been some concerns around the province, but in terms of KPR, we have been good stewards and we have done a good job. So we plan on continuing doing a good job and being good stewards of the budget.
Can you give me some examples that would show us what you've done?
Examples of what we've done? Well, in terms of we make sure that every dollar that we get goes to supporting students, that we make sure that we don't have outrageous spending. There's been media attention recently to trustees taking trips to places far afield. That's never happened in the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, is we make sure that we stay within our limits. So again, our focus is always going to be making sure that public dollars get to the schools, get to students who need them. So again, we are fiscally responsible. We are very cautious with our money. We make sure the money gets to the right places, and the money is not being spent on trustees by any means.
What have been the budget increases you've passed over the last number of years? Can you give us some examples of those?
Budget increases? What do you mean by budget increases?
Well, do you not set a budget every year for the board?
We do set a budget every year, and we are on track with that budget for this year.
What was the increase so year over year for the last budget?
You mean increase in terms of overall numbers, Rob? I don't have those numbers handy in front of me right now. So if you're looking for actual numbers, I'd have to get the finance department to support me on that.
I guess the key to that question, though, is that if there's been increases, you certainly would know that if a budget increased one year over another, because obviously those are the kinds of things that the Ontario government's concerned about, is how much increases are going.
So definitely budgets have increased over the years. We're getting more dollars than we have previously. That is true. However, the budget we're getting per student has not increased over the years. So the absolute amount is increasing. That is true. However, what has happened is the per student amount has gone down over the last number of years. I don't have specific numbers, but I do know that has been the trend.
Rita Russo is the current Director of Education and Secretary of the Board. I understand she's retiring at the end of August. Is that correct?
Yeah, Rita has put in her retirement. That is correct, yes. Yeah.
I also understand that the Associate Director of the Board, Drew McNaughton, has also announced his retirement as well. Why are your two top administrators leaving?
Because they have come to their... In education, you reach a certain factor, your age combined with years of service, and you reach a retirement age. So their leaving has nothing to do with education. It's their time in life. They want to go enjoy their life and do different things, different challenges. I too, Rob, I retired from education 5 years ago, but I firmly believe in education, so I came back to be a trustee. So no, their retirements are not connected to education. Their retirements are connected to they want to go enjoy their lives and try different things. And may I just say, while we're on that topic, both of them have done a phenomenal job. I mean, talk about fiscal responsibility, public accountability. Both Drew and Rita have been very good at helping us achieve those goals.
One of the changes that was brought about in 2020 is the requirement that the directors of education no longer are required to be teachers. Non-teaching executives could be hired. Is this something the school board will consider as you replace these people leaving?
So that's an interesting question, because now that we know that Rita has announced her retirement, we need to, well, it's all predicated on the legislation passing. If the legislation passes, then we may be looking for a chief executive officer. And as you pointed out, you are correct. According to the legislation, if it passes, that person may require some level of business experience. We don't know what that means right now, because until the legislation passes and the bill's hammered out, we need to know what those details are. If it turns out that we do need business experience, then we'll be seeking a chief executive officer who will have business experience. We just have to wait and see to see what the legislation says. So yes, we will engage a search to find a new chief executive officer should the legislation pass, and we will have to follow the business credentials, given whatever the province says they need to have for the position.
It's my understanding, though, that in 2020, that the director could be a non-teaching person, but this new chief education officer is under the current legislation that's being proposed. And I appreciate that you've clarified that, but could you go back and just talk a bit about the directors of education are no longer required to be a teacher? That was something, like I said, was approved in 2020. Is that something that you'll be considering in this hire?
So I think you are correct in 2020 that the director could be a non-teaching person. And Rita Russo is an educator who came from the teaching world. Would we consider that going forward? I think, yes, definitely we would consider it. It's under the legislation. Until we see the credentials of the legislation, we're not sure. But definitely a person with a business background could potentially take that job. That is true. Now, the other thing you mentioned, Rob, the chief education officer who is hired by the chief executive officer, they have to have the education credentials. So that person would have to come from the education world, be a member of the College of Teachers. Again, this is all predicated on the bill passing. We know it's currently going through committee. there may be changes, but what we currently know that the chief education officer will have education credentials. The chief executive officer could have education credentials, but they also may require business credentials. So whatever the legislation is, we will have to make sure that our job search matches what we are directed to do by the province.
As you watch the Ontario government investigate and supervise five school boards in 2025, did you have any concerns that the local school board might come under this kind of scrutiny, including a possible intervention by the ministry to take over supervision?
Well, the fact that it's happened means I think every school board in Ontario has to have a certain level of concern because it's outside our control. I will say, though, as I said before, we have been fiscally responsible for the last number of years. We're publicly accountable. Our governance has not been problematic. So we have done all the things we are supposed to be doing. So in terms of a threat to KPR, no, I think we are in very good standing. And I do not believe that we have been under, you know, under the eyes of the province. I'm hoping that's the case, but I'm quite confident that we've done a good job. Therefore, we've kept ourselves out of that situation.
So then how would you describe the relationship between the school board and the ministry over the past year?
I mean, we always work with the ministry. The ministry oversees the school board, so we always do what we're asked to do. We follow the rules. They ask us to be fiscally responsible. We are. They ask us to be publicly accountable. We are. They ask us to govern in a positive way. That's what we do. So I think because we are following what we're supposed to be doing, that we are you know, working well with the government, that we have not been a concern for them.
I'd like to now go back to something you said at the beginning of our conversation around trustees and the role of trustees. So mm-hmm. In August of 2025, and most recently with the legislation, Education Minister Paul Calandria threatened to eliminate trustees or at least reduce the role that they play at the school board. Mm-hmm. What was your personal reaction when you heard him say this?
Well, being a trustee, it's concerning. I mean, we believe that trustees are elected by the communities which they serve. I live in the community that I serve. We know the population, we know the students, we know the parents, we know the needs of the schools. I think we are really well equipped to help make sure that those schools are run in a way that supports the community. I think when you take away trustees and run things in central, you're going to have that, the government won't be as responsive to the local needs. So we can talk to our constituents, they tell us what they need, we can make sure those things happen. So that, you know, able to move with the population, move with the community is one of the great strengths of a trustee. If you take them away, then you lose that local flavor. It becomes a centralized, one-size-fits-all. And we know that, you know, the Toronto school boards versus Northern Ontario school boards, they're really quite different. And trustees, you know, allow us to bring that local flavor to the school so parents can have direct input.
Is this something that you guys talk about around the table when you're holding meetings or when you're just chatting with each other?
Well, I mean, definitely these are things that occupy us a great deal. Absolutely. So we have informal conversations. We have formal conversations because of the pending legislation, Bill 101. These topics are absolutely on the minds of every trustee right now. And trustees are, I mean, we want to know. I think the biggest thing right now, Rob, is we don't know what the legislation will look like in the end. And it's not that we're worried about it. It's more that we're just, you always have concerns for the things you don't know. So once the legislation comes out and we know what our full responsibilities are, we need to know that. We're in this limbo place right now where we know there's going to be changes. We're told there's going to be changes, but we don't really know what those changes fully are yet. So there's that, you know, consternation when you're just, it's a fear of the unknown a little bit, I guess. But at the end of the day, as far as we know, trustees are here to stay. We're going to continue to advocate for our communities. We're going to continue to advocate for fiscal responsibility, to, you know, public accountability and good governance. We're going to constantly do that, and we're going to fight to be here because we believe, again, we are more responsive to communities than a centralized government.
How would you describe the relationship between the board and the ministry? I mean, you guys communicate back and forth. Do they ever come to you and say, hey, guys, you know, give us some feedback, or here's what we're thinking about doing, and get your input
before anything changes?
Well, there are a number of ways they take, they can get direct feedback from the board. The director of education meets with the ministry or the, you know, the offices of the ministry fairly regularly. As trustees, we go through OPSPA, the Ontario Public School Boards Association. They are our representatives. OPSPA meets with the ministry on a very regular basis, and information goes back and forward. So we do have a good sharing relationship. I'm hoping that OPSPA, one of the concerns going forward is OPSPA's role may be reduced with the coming legislation. We don't know if that's true yet, but we really value our communication with the ministry. We need that way to communicate with the ministry, whether it be through OPSPA or be through the director, but we do have a good relationship. We want to continue that good relationship. We want to keep all paths open. So I would be, my concern would be is if we shut down some of those paths, then that communication can't continue.
Has the school board expressed to this group that you belong to that lobbies on your behalf, have you guys sent letters or talked to them and said, listen, this is what here in Kawartha, Pine Ridge, this is what we're worried about, and they're giving that message up the food chain?
Well, we have members, trustees who sit on OPSPA, so we have people directly sitting on the organization expressing our concerns. But yes, the board has written letters expressing our concern with how important this organization is, how important trustees are in public education. So we've written letters, we've communicated, we have people sitting there. So yes, it's a constant stream of information. I think the ministry is quite aware of where we stand, but again, in a supportive way.
Locally, we have watched the health units become centralized. Conservation authorities right now are under the microscope with plans to centralize its services and administrations. Do you worry the school system is going to be next no matter what?
Well, I would not like to think no matter what. I think centralization has some benefits in terms of making education uniform. It can be positive in that way. The problem is, as I said before, though, if they centralize it, it takes away the local community. And I'll say what I said before, the Toronto District School Board is very different from the Near North School Board. They don't have the same needs. They don't have the same classroom requirements. They don't have the same students. Is trustees are better apt to deal with that. So centralization, it may, from a fiscal angle, may make some sense, but in other senses, in terms of being responsive to the needs of parents and the taxpayers, is centralization can be problematic. And a slightly decentralized system where you have local elected trustees who respond to the communities, I think that's a better way of serving the communities and a better way of making sure schools effectively serve the communities in which they operate. So centralization, yes, it can have some benefits, but it takes away that local ability to react and to cope with the issues that exist at the local level.
But you could see the government might think that, you know, let's get rid of the trustees and the school boards. Let's keep a local parent council and just let's get the feedback from the local parent councils direct to the Ontario government. Does that scenario ever worry you?
Well, I think parent councils are fundamentally important. And we as trustees work with parent councils. But if you're limiting the local council or limiting the amount of people that are working in the local level, you are going to limit their ability to, you know, impact the central government. So I think local councils, local parent councils are a great idea. We absolutely need to continue with them, but they need to work with trustees because the more say we can have at the local level, the better we can tailor education to the needs of the community. So I think if it was just a local council by itself, you would take away some of the ability of local school boards to adapt to the needs of their particular communities.
With all the changes that have taken place and that are being proposed, how are you keeping parents informed?
So we keep parents informed many, many, many ways. So in terms of we'll start with the schools. First of all, schools constantly communicate with parents through newsletters, through emails, through reports, through meetings. We meet with parents as trustees regularly. We go to the parent councils, the school parent councils we attend. There are regional parent councils that happen once or four times a year. We meet with them there. We have constituency meetings at times. We meet with parents. So there's a number of different vehicles we use to meet parents. And one of the things is we're always available, that our email addresses, our telephone numbers, we're always on the website. So we get every week multiple calls and emails from parents who have concerns, and it's our job to work with them to help resolve whatever the question they may have.
So I appreciate that you communicate with them on a host of issues. What about the issues that the school board's facing and the things that are being proposed by the government? What are you hearing parents say about this?
Well, I mean, what we are hearing about trustees, I'll give the example of trustees, that there was, prior to hearing about the legislation, there was concern that trustees would be taken away. Parents want trustees to be there. The studies that I have seen, I'm not going to quote numbers, have saying that parents do want trustees because parents recognize that trust they can connect with a trustee easily and help resolve the problem they have or you know, whatever implementation they wish to see. We can react to them. We can speak with them. If you centralize that, they know they're one step away or one step removed from the central government. So parents absolutely want trustees because they know they can connect with us. We live in the community. I mean, I've got a school less than a kilometer from my house where, you know, I live in this community.
Well, let's take an example that's come about in the last little while that has made headlines, and that's absenteeism. It seems to be front and center these days. While there are measures being proposed by the Ontario government, what can you tell people about absentee rates within the board currently, and how do you respond to that concern?
Definitely, the more students are in school, the better it will be for everybody. So having full attendance is obviously our ultimate goal. The concern with that, though, is that some students may have medical issues that prevent them from attending on a full-time basis. So I think the goal is always going to be the best attendance possible, full attendance. We need to, I don't think we have a huge problem with it, but I think we need to make sure that we keep that the goal. But I think we also need to make sure that if there are students who can attend for legitimate reasons such as medical, we need to make sure we have pathways for them to get the education that they need. So the notion perhaps of making attendance a part of your assessment, we just have to be careful that we don't, you know, harm the students who can't be there because of a medical condition or some other condition that prevents them from being in school all the time. So full attendance is the goal, but we cannot, you know, be harmful to students who simply cannot make that goal for medical issues.
Do you monitor absenteeism amongst students on a regular basis?
So, I mean, as a group of trustees, we're in more of a governance model. Do schools do that? Absolutely. They're legally obligated to do that. So students have to attend, and then there's a process that kicks in. If a student misses X number of days, there's a process where, you know, they're contacted. We have professionals who help out with them.
But you, as a board of trustees, you don't get a report on any sort of basis that would say, you know, here across the board, this is what our absentee rate.
We certainly get a report. And we would respond to that report and we would say we can make recommendations, but we're not the ones in the school monitoring student attendance, encouraging student attendance. So yes, we get reports. We are involved in that level, but we're not involved in the day-to-day getting students to attend. But definitely there's a mechanism for that. And definitely there are people whose job it is to encourage students to come and make sure that our goal of full attendance is realized to the best of our ability.
I appreciate that you may not have the numbers off the top of your head, but do you recall the last discussions you had about it, whether there was any concern by any of the trustees about attendance?
Honestly, I can't give you numbers, Rob. I would be fabricating them. I don't know what they are. I don't remember any specific concerns about attendance. Obviously, attendance is always going to be an ongoing issue because we want students to be there as much as possible. But we recognize at the same time, though, that attendance may be affected by, as I said, by factors such as health. We have to be careful in the way we go about that. So I do not remember having specific concern about that. But I mean, every board's different, right? This comes to the local flavor again. Different school boards may have different concerns. So a concern in Toronto may not be the same concern. I'm not saying it's not, but you know, there's differences in how school boards approach these concerns.
Well, in the same vein, there has been a lot of discussion over the last number of years and an ongoing debate, really, over cell phones in schools. So what are the current policies around students and cell phone use for the local board?
Well, you know, at the elementary level, there's a certain students cannot have cell phones at a certain grade. In secondary schools, students cannot have cell phones in the classroom unless they're part of the educational environment. So it depends on how they're used, but they cannot use them for browsing or using social media. The current legislation, again, I realize that Mr. Calandra yesterday talked about the idea of banning cell phones. I mean, that's not legislation yet. He's putting an idea out. And I'll be honest with you, Rob, that social media causes some real concerns for youth. We know that. It can be very harmful towards youth. And we have to be able to deal with that. And maybe, you know, we need to do more. We're not doing enough. At the same time, cell phones and technology can be an effective educational tool if used properly in the classroom as directed by the teacher. So we have to balance our concern of the harm of social media with the great learning tool that a technology could be. So it's that, I'm not sure we've got that balance right. We need to get that balance better. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the province, recommends in terms of legislation. But certainly social media has been harmful. We have to do something about it. I applaud that Mr. Calandra wants to address that issue. Just cautious that, you know, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because the technology can be a really powerful tool at the same time.
With all these changes that have taken place so far, and even more in the pipes possibly coming down, do you think this will have an impact on who might be running come this fall's municipal election?
I'd like to think that when the legislation comes down, hopefully in the next couple of weeks when it comes down, and people see the role of trustees, that we will have a robust election, that people will run again. Is it possible it could affect who runs? I think that's a distinct possibility, depending on what comes out with the legislation. So we have to wait and see. I know many of my colleagues plan on running again. So I think there's a lot of interest in running and becoming part of this, because we believe that trustees do a phenomenal job, again, of responding to the community. But again, if the legislation comes down, we'll see that from there. I think a number of people will have to make decisions. Is this for me? Is this not for me? So I'd like to think that there's a big enough role from what we know that trustees will want to go forward and, you know, help our communities. But we'll have to wait and see when the legislation comes out for the details.
As it currently stands, are you planning to run?
I can't say that. I don't know.
With further changes in pending legislation before the government, along with public debate over various proposals, what strategy will the school board take going forward to keep parents, students, and the public informed?
So strategy in terms of, I mean, all of our board meetings are public, and all of our board meetings are put on YouTube. So everything we do in terms of budget, in terms of good governance, all of that is available. Parents can, so you go on our website, the links are there, so they can see everything we do. Every formal board meeting is publicized. They can see that. We have regular, again, we have parent councils at the school level. We have regional councils. We are going to have a regional council next month, where we bring parents from all around KPR to talk about the issues that are really meaningful to them. So we are in constant communication through they can come to our meetings, they can attend our meetings. We really encourage the public to attend our board meetings. We leave a whole series of seats for the public to come and watch. They're also allowed to come and ask questions at board meetings as well. So there are many, many avenues that we can access parents and let them know. We can use media like you, like this today as well.
I appreciate all of that, and that's what you do as a standard kind of communications and accountability. I'm wondering, though, with all this change, and these are big changes that are being proposed, is there a particular strategy that going forward, because of these big changes, you might be reaching out more or you might be communicating more? I guess that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, Rob, we need to see what the changes are. Because, again, we've heard about the changes. We've heard the proposed changes. When the legislation comes out, yes, we will have to communicate to the public whatever those changes are. We are working on a strategy. We're always working on a strategy. We'll work on a strategy once we see the legislation. We have to get there and figure out how we're going to do that. Example being, if we have to hire a chief executive officer, we have to get that information out there. But again, we can't start on that until the legislation comes down and tells us exactly what we're looking for.
Do you feel that these changes that have taken place in the past and these proposals that are currently sitting before you has changed the public's perception about school boards? And if so, how?
I'd like to think, and I'm speaking for the Corth, the Pinehurst District School Board area, I think the public has had faith in our school board, that we have been, again, as I said, I know I say it over and over again, we have been fiscally responsible. We have had public accountability. So I think all of this is going to bring to the public and has brought to the public the idea that local governance through trustees and local school boards is a very positive thing. And I think some parents are fearful if this is taken away, that centralized education won't be as good for their students as a more system where you have trustees who can help those local things. So I think, if anything, new legislation, all this discussion has brought the issue that public trustees are meaningful and have a meaningful place to play in education, and that having locally controlled school boards that are responsive to the public that they serve is the best way to go. So if I think, if anything, this may have a positive spin-off on how the public views education, because it's brought the idea forward, we need to maintain local control of the school boards.
With all these proposals coming up, what's next on the agenda for the public school board?
For us? Well, depending on the legislation, we may be looking for a new chief executive officer. We may be looking for a chief education officer. As you pointed out, that both Rita and Drew have retired. We are moving forward with our budget. We're currently beginning budget deliberations for next year. So we're going through that, again, in a very positive, proactive way. We're going to have a balanced budget. We have to wait to see what the legislation says in terms of the role of trustee. We'll have to kind of work on that. So we're always going forward. Our immediate plans are, again, is to find our new leaders. Once we've got those, when those people come into place, we can start to move forward or continue to move forward as best we can.
Paul Brown, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Rob, thank you very much for the opportunity. And again, public education is the key to the success of our kids. It really is. Public education is one of the most important things in our world. And I think we owe it to our kids to give them the best education possible, the best public education possible that's accessible to everybody. Rob, to let you know, I was a teacher in the classroom for many years. I was a principal in the system for many years. Then I became a trustee. So I've devoted my whole life to public education. I do believe it's a cornerstone of democracy and the cornerstone for our kids. So I will do whatever I can to make sure that public education is the best possible. And I will reiterate that having trustees gives us that local flavor that allows us to tailor local education to the needs of the community.
That was Paul Brown, chairperson for the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share.
And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.